a pleasure to welcome to our pulpit this morning Dr. Wesley Duell. He's the featured speaker at the family conference the last couple of days and today as well at Canadian Bible College. He's a former president of the Overseas Missionary Society, and you would not know this to look at him, but he's almost 80 years old and still going strong. He's recently returned from Korea, and after the conference here, he's heading over to England for 6 weeks of ministry there. Dr. Duell, welcome to minister to us.
God bless all of you. It's my joy to be with you in Regina, to be at the conference, and to be in this church. And I pray that the speaker this morning will not be me, but the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that God will have his message for us. Before I speak on this tremendously important subject, reigning with Christ through intercession, or the Trinity of intercession, I want to mention that just outside the door on the table, there are a few of my books. 6 of my books are there, and you are able to get them at discount prices. Some of them almost sold out in the last service, but we're able to obtain others. If you want to leave your name and address with the people at the table. I don't receive $1 of profit from the sale of these books. Everything above the actual cost goes into helping getting it out across the world. Already one or more of those books is in 35 languages or national editions around the world. The last 10 years, I would never have believed it, but over 725,000 copies are now in print. And I'm just praying God will help me get the message out. I can't begin to share all that I would like to share this morning, so I hope you can take advantage of the special prices and that God will make those books a blessing to you. I receive testimonies every week of what God is doing. I've received testimonies since I'm here of what God is doing through those books. Our scripture lesson is found in Ephesians chapter 1, and I begin with verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head of everything for the church. Christ is exalted as Lord over all, not only because he is eternal God, but this has a special significance for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What a privilege we have in prayer. Some 30 years ago, when the British government decided that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth would make a royal visit to India and spend 1 week there, it was decided that she would spend Sunday in the city of Varanasi, the ancient Hindu Benares, the holy city of the Hindus, city of temples, a city where millions each year try to wash away their sins, less than 100 miles from where our seminary was located. The bishop was looking forward. Oh, here's my chance. I'm going to get to preach for the queen. The bishop was a good brother, but this was a great occasion for him. Then 1 month before the royal visit, there came a letter from Buckingham Palace. Her Majesty does not want any special service for when she attends. She wants to be a part of the regular congregational worship. Oh, that meant the bishop was out. And Bob Harland, a godly, spirit-filled evangelical, dear friend of mine, was to be he is the pastor. He was to bring the message. It just so happened that his assistant, associate pastor, was one of my former students. The Anglicans had sent him to our seminary for training. And I knew that every member of the choir was a member of one of the missionary society's hospitals 18 miles in the country. So this was going to be quite an evangelical-led occasion. Oh, we praise the Lord. Then 1 week before Her Majesty arrived, there was a second letter from Buckingham Palace. Your sermon is to be 12 minutes long. Oh, we were being kept informed. Oh, Lord, we said, help Bob Harland. Oh, give him the message. We had been praying for the Lord to give him the message. Now help him to condense that message into 12 minutes. The bishop came to see me in Allahabad, where we both lived. He said, Wesley, I'm very sorry. I can't give you a ticket to enter to worship in St. Mary's in Varanasi. He said, you see, there's only 330 seats in the church. Every third person has to be a CID, a secret police. And all the British officials want to attend. High Commissioner Vijaya Lakshmi Pandit, the first woman president of the United Nations, Indira Gandhi, the Maharaja of Varanasi, all these people want to attend. I wouldn't dare. He said, I can't begin to get all the British people in that want to attend. I wouldn't dare let an American. Well, I said, Bishop, that's all right. I hadn't asked you for a ticket. I know, he said. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pitch a shamiana. That's a kind of an awning right out in front of the church. I'll give you a ticket, and you and your family can sit in the shamiana. Well, I said, thank you. That's very kind. And some of you know Gordon and Ruth Coles, who are here in Regina, my former colleagues at the Allahabad Bible Seminary. They also were privileged to go, and their son-in-law, Claire, was helping with the singing in the first session this morning. So we got there early, and I have interesting things I could tell you, but I won't. And Sunday morning we got there early. I put up my tripod, put my moving picture camera on top. In those days, you didn't have automatic eyes on the cameras. So I had to take out my exposure meter, and I thought, now I'll take the kind of motion so that the police will not get excited when I take pictures. The bishop came strolling up, all smiles, and, well, he said, we talked. I said, now, Bishop, what do I say when the Queen speaks to me? He looked at me. You don't speak to royalty until royalty speaks to you. And you don't ask royalty for anything. You only answer royalties. And besides, the first time royalty speaks, you have to say, Your Majesty. And about that time, he saw the smile on my face and realized that I was joking. So we both joked, laughed. It was our private joke. It wasn't long until here came the procession of vehicles, and the Queen's car came right up just a short distance from where we were. So I was stood up and had my camera focused. So I took pictures of the bishop and the pastor and my former student, the associate pastor, greeting the royal party. And then they turned on Gotham as they went into the church. Prince Philip read the scripture lesson. My former student led in the prayers. And then Bob got up to preach. He said, you can contact heaven. Jacob had a dream. He saw a ladder stretching all the way from earth to heaven. You can contact God. Oh, I said, thank you, Lord. I mean, I was saying it in my heart. I was sitting out there under the awning in the first row. And he said, but what does it mean? What does it require to go to heaven? He said, you can't go to heaven just because you're a member of the Church of England. You can't go to heaven just because you partake of Holy Communion. You're a sinner. You have to repent of your sins. You have to be born again. Oh, I said, Lord, thank you. Help him, Lord. Lord, help Bob Blow. Bless him. Use him. Help him. Anoint him. I was sitting out in the awning with just, oh, praise the Lord. Help him, Jesus. Help him. And he preached an old-fashioned Billy Graham gospel message there for 12 minutes, hot and heavy. I said, thank you, Jesus. I was so thrilled. I hardly realized the congregation was singing the closing hymn. And then I suddenly saw, here's a royal party coming to the door. So I stood up real quick, got by my camera. I still said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Lord, speak to all those Hindus and Sikhs and Muslims in the CID force and all those people. Lord, help them to understand the message. And I thought, man, she's getting big in the viewfinder here. I looked. I was so busy praying, I had not realized that she had come and was standing right in front of me. She said, are you a missionary? Yes. She said, what society are you with? Well, I'm with OMS International, formerly called the Oriental Missionary Society. What work do you do? Well, I said, I'm the principal of the Allahabad Theological Seminary. We train Indian young people for the ministry. Oh, Your Majesty, I said. I suddenly remembered that I had forgotten to do what I was supposed to do. She's a very gracious person. Sweet little dimple on her cheek as she smiled. She knew I was a dumb American and didn't know better. But did you hear what I said? What I heard? Why did she come and speak to me? I think I know. So I could tell you this morning. Did you hear what she said? What the bishop said to me? You don't speak to royalty unless royalty speaks first to you. And you don't ask one thing of royalty. You only answer royalty. And besides, you have to know how the proper form and how to do it. But with the God we've been singing about, the Lord of the universe, of heaven and earth, on the throne of heaven, is waiting for you to speak. And he says, ask. Will be given to you. You and I have the privilege of prayer any day, any time to God. Do you realize what a privilege prayer is? Can you pick up the phone and talk to your prime minister? Of course not. But you can talk to the sovereign of the universe anytime, anywhere, in your own words. But God, in the mystery of His sovereign wisdom, has ordained that prayers of intercession be primarily threesome. And that's why I use the term the Trinity of intercession. Most prayers are never answered until there is a threesome. And who are the members of the Trinity of Intercession? Not God the Father. You never read that He prays. He hears all prayer. But God the Son? Yes. Jesus, the Son of God, is our great intercessor. The Bible teaches us that He is our great high priest. Jesus is number one. Do you remember when Jesus was on trial just before the cross? The high priest interrogated Him. And Jesus stood there in quiet, solemn majesty. Basically, He did not answer the questions. He was taken to Pilate. Pilate questioned Jesus. And basically, Jesus was silent. He was taken to King Herod. And basically, Jesus was silent. Because, you know, Isaiah had prophesied, as a sheep before its shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Then the high priest, in such irritation and anger, took the exact words of the legal form of oath. I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you be the Son of God or not. Could Jesus now remain silent? No. The most solemn moment of His life on earth when before the high priest and all the members of the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jewish nation, he was put on oath. Tell us, are you the Son of God or not? And Jesus, in his majesty, said, I am. The high priest was ready to tear and did tear his robes. Blasphemy! Jesus didn't say, I am the Son of God. He said, I am. You remember when Moses met Jehovah at the burning bush and God commissioned him to lead Israel? He said, they won't believe me. God's, who shall I tell them sent me? God said, I am. That is my name for all generations. And here, Jesus was daring to say, I am. Asserting his deity. Who was it said, let there be light? Jehovah Jesus. Who spoke the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai? Jehovah Jesus. Whenever there was an appearance of a theophany in the Old Testament, of temporary manifestation of God, that was Jesus. That's what Micah 5:2 tells us. It was Jesus. And Jesus said, I am. And then he continued, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God the Father and coming on the clouds of heaven. Under solemn oath, Jesus swore three things: his deity, his sovereignty, and his coming again. And Pilate, Herod, high priest, all members of the Sanhedrin, and you here this morning, you will see Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father. And you will see him coming on the clouds of heaven. Do you realize how important those words are? 13 times the Bible uses the exact words. Why? It must be tremendously important for you and me to understand. Luke says it this way: from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. Mark 16:19. He was taken up to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Hebrews 1:3, after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Do you realize? Those three things are said over and over. Sat down, right hand, and God, or the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There it is again. And in case you didn't catch it, and one more verse, Hebrews 8:1. The point, says the writer of the Hebrews, the point of what we are saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. What's so significant about sitting down? Oh, that is all significant. Do you remember in the ancient empires, in the throne room, there was only one seat, the throne. If the prime minister was permitted and invited, he could come and stand before the throne. If he wished to interview the commander of the armies, he was invited and he came and he stood before the throne. No one sat in the presence of the emperor or the king. Jesus is seated. That means he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. over all. He is seated. Not he will be, he is seated. He arose from the dead, and this scripture we read said, he, by the power of God, he was lifted up to the throne of God, and he is seated at the throne of God. Our Savior is seated. But not only is he seated, but it says, we have such a high priest who is seated. So he is the only one who ever was and ever will be high priest hyphen sovereign. So on the throne today, Jesus is reigning. Not by a rod of iron. He will do that when he comes again. He is reigning, not by his might. He is reigning by intercession. The Bible says he ever lives to intercede. What does that mean? That he will never die? Oh, no. Of course he won't die. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is life itself. He could not cease to exist. What that is saying is, he ever lives to intercede. You ever heard people talk about some lady, woman? She lives for her family. You know what that means. Have you ever heard of a businessman who lives for his business? Or someone who lived for music? You know what that means. That means that's their delight, that's their priority, that's what they most want to do, and that's what they do. And Jesus lives to intercede. What's Jesus doing in heaven today? Welcoming people that arrive in heaven? Oh, yes, he does that, but that's not his priority. He doesn't live to welcome the saints to heaven. Command the angels? Oh, yes. He's giving commands all the time to the angels. They all obey him, and he has them all assigned to help you and me. Believe it. And I know that I am alive here today because of the angels of God. I don't have time to tell you examples in my own life. I know it. I am nothing. But for God's mercy and his holy angels, I wouldn't be here today. I faced the rioting mobs in India, the anti-foreign riots. Yes, but that's not his priority. Of course he gives commands to the angels. But his priority is to intercede for you and me. Oh, he's the high priest. Do you remember how the high priest was garbed? The high priest couldn't just wear anything. We've become a casual people. You can wear just about anything, even to church. God said to Moses, he must have that mitre on his head which said, holiness unto the Lord. He must have that pure white garment on representing holiness and purity. He must have the ephod. And you remember that strip of cloth, 9 inches wide, 18 inches long, doubled up so that it was a 9-inch square, on the front of which were 12 jewels, 3 jewels each in 4 rows. And on each jewel, the name of one of the tribes of Israel. And on each shoulder, a flat onyx stone. And on this shoulder, the name of 6 of the tribes of Israel. And on this shoulder, 6 of the tribes of Israel. What does that symbolize? It's very obvious. That the high priest always bore the responsibility for the whole nation. The priest lives not for himself, but for others. And what high priest was always bearing the responsibility for intercession for the whole nation on his shoulders. And about that ephod, God said to Moses, fasten it with golden chains. Then he added these words. It's word for word in the Bible. That it not swing out. God did not want, as the high priest went about his official duties, as he always wore that garb, he did not want him to lean over doing this and that, and at any time there'd be 1 inch between the names of the people he was responsible for in his heart. He was to keep them not only the responsibility on his shoulders, but loving them from the heart. He must keep them close to his heart. Does Jesus have onyx stones on his shoulder in heaven? Oh, no. He doesn't wear an ephod. But that was to symbolize the infinite importance, the reality that the high priest loves the people and Jesus loves us. And do you realize that Jesus in love is praying for you this morning while you sit here in this service? Do you realize that as you go down the road, he's praying for you? Do you realize that the brother in the hospital who was healed partially at least this week? Why not? Jesus was interceding for him. Praise God. So Jesus is the great high priest who ever lives to intercede for us. Who is the second in the Trinity of intercession? The Holy Spirit. Do you remember Romans 8? By the way, do you always know what to pray for? Are you always sure what you should pray for? No, of course not. You remember James and John, those sons of thunder? When the Samaritans wouldn't let Jesus stay overnight in their village, they said, Lord, shall we call fire down from heaven and burn him up like Elijah did? Elisha? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you have. Jesus didn't come to destroy people. He came to save people, to love people. And even Paul didn't always know what to pray. You remember he had a thorn in his flesh. Very painful. In those days, there was a very painful eye disease, very prevalent in those countries in the Middle East. You remember Paul never wrote his own letters. He used a secretary. He dictated. But he would sign them. You remember what he said about his signature? He says, you see what big letters I use. Do you remember he said of the Galatians, I bear you witness that if you could have done so, you would have plucked your eyes out and given them to me. They loved him so much. Ah, do you blame Paul for saying, Lord, can't you heal my eyes? If you could just take away that pain and help me to see more clearly, it would help me so much in my ministry. And he said, three times I, and the Greek word is pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, I'm glad, Lord, most gladly. That's okay if that's what you want. I want what you want, not what would feel good. No, we don't know. That's why we're partly weak in our praying. And that's exactly what Romans 8 said. Do you remember verse 26? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Ah, so Jesus is praying for us. And the Holy Spirit is praying for us. We've got it made, haven't we? That ought to take care of everything, oughtn't it? And how does the Holy Spirit pray? Now, Lord, there's Sister Jones. Her little boy's been sick all week. He's been crying. She's been staying up at night trying to take care of him. Father, if you just would touch Sister Jones and help her, help the little baby boy, that'd be nice. And Father, there's Pastor Norton. You know all is coming on him this week. That man in the hospital. He's got to prepare his message for next Sunday. He has to be sure he has the word of the Lord for the congregation next week. Father, it'd be so good if you just help Pastor Norm. Make it easy for him to know the Lord's will about his text and his message. Is that the way the Holy Spirit prays? No, that's not the way the Holy Spirit prays. That may be the way you pray. Well, the Bible tells us how he prays. I didn't finish the verse. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Oh, the Holy Spirit loves you like Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit is bearing your burden. The Holy Spirit is concerned. Oh, Father, Help Sister Jones. Help her with that little baby. Touch the baby and give her, renew her strength. Help her, Jesus. Help her, Father. And, oh, Father, help Pastor Norm. It's so important he has your word for the congregation next week. He must have your word, not just a pastor or anything he's preached before, what strikes his mind. No, give him your word. Oh, Father, use him when he goes to the hospital and prays with the patient. Lord, bless him and use him. The Holy Spirit is praying for you and you and you and all of us with groanings which are beyond human expression. Because he knows how important every little detail is in your life and mine, and we don't realize it. Well, the kingdom of God ought to rush forward in power with all that. That takes care of everything, doesn't it? No. I can't tell you why. It's in the mystery of God's divine wisdom. But God has ordained that there be three. Where shall we find? Who is worthy? Where can we find? Michael, the archangel? Will you be our great intercessor? Michael shrinks back. I am not worthy. I cannot do it. Gabriel says, I can't do it. Where shall we find the third intercessor if there must be three? You are number three. You remember that Israel was the chosen people. And God said to Moses, you shall be a kingdom of priests to me. Recall, did you ever read in the Old Testament where Israel was praying for the nations round about them? No. Israel disappointed God, failed God. God's moved Israel to one side for the time being. And what does 1 Peter tell us? But you are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Ah, Israel failed God, but God chose the church, you and me. That's why he is reigning over all for the church, because we are now a vital part of his kingdom administration. He has chosen you and me to be his royal priesthood. Revelation chapter 1. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us to be what? Kings and priests to God. Kings to God. He needs us to rule. Us. Oh, you say, yeah, in eternity we're going to. No, I'm not talking about eternity. We read to the end of chapter 1 in Ephesians. If we'd gone six verses further, we would read these words. And God raised us up with Christ. And something's wrong with my Bible here? No. With your Bible? No. You know what your Bible says? He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm. Seated you and me with Christ? How can it be? There's only one place to sit, and that's on the throne. Who are we? Oh, if God had just chosen the angels, they would probably have been quite faithful. But you and I are so forgetful. We often fail God. Who does a priest pray for? His wife and children? Not primarily. The priest is responsible to pray for the people, the high priest. On our shoulders is a responsibility. Close to our heart is that which we are to love with all our heart, and then we are to intercede. Two main works of the priest and high priest, sacrifice and intercession. And on the cross, Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice and fulfilled all sacrifice. And he said just before he died, it is finished. Why don't the Jews have a high priest today? Why don't they have a temple today? Why don't they have any sacrifices today? It is finished. But there is an unfinished work of Christ. And often people say, oh, missions is the unfinished work of Christ. Yes, that's true. But prayer is the unfinished work of Christ. Jesus today is living to complete that responsibility. He is living to intercede. And you and I are to help with the great unfinished work of Christ. And the greatest privilege and the greatest responsibility that any Christian has is to reign with Christ in prayer. Not will be, you are seated. As truly as you are raised with Christ, you are seated with Christ. We're crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, and tremble when you say it. We're seated with Christ. Let me ask you, how much reigning did you do this past week? Have you reigned any yet this morning with Jesus? What is God's great expectation from you? That you reign with Jesus. Well, some people say our government's becoming so corrupt. Yes. Who can do anything about it? You. You're to reign with Jesus over Canada and over the United States and over Moscow and Shanghai. You are to reign with Jesus. When I was holding prayer conferences in Korea last month, I looked at the Korean believers, pastors. I said, who holds the future of Korea in their hands? Is it the premier of North Korea? Is it the North Korean army? Who holds the future? Is it your South Korean army? No, I said, you hold the future of Korea in your hands. You are to reign with Jesus. If you reign with Jesus, you can change the future of Korea. When I was in Haiti, preaching this same message there, I said to the Haitian people, about 3,000 of them, different denominations in a great gathering, I said, who holds the future of Haiti in their hand? President Aristide, who was president? The army? I said, no. United Nations? No. You, the Church of Jesus Christ, especially the ministry. Because the ministry are responsible to see that all their believers fulfill God's purpose for them. We're to bring them to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Oh, what a responsibility it is to be a pastor, to be a minister. We must prepare God's people for works of service. And what is the greatest of all those works? Intercession. Are we preparing our people? Do they teaching them how to intercede? Lord, teach us to pray. Oh, Lord, teach us. I wish I could tell it. I wish I could get my books out across this world. I keep praying every day, Lord, multiply the ministry. Get them out, get them out. I don't know. I don't want it for numbers' sake. I don't want it for my name's sake, but I want the message to get out. The Church of Jesus Christ across the world. We're called to be intercessors. God's cause is in our hands. If things don't change in my country, whose fault is it? Did Jesus forget to intercede? No. Did the Holy Spirit cease to groan? No. If there's a failure, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Awesome responsibility. God have mercy on us. God help me to tell it. God help me to get God's people to become a mighty host of intercessors, reigning with Jesus, pushing back the darkness, saying to Satan, thus far, no farther. Who can push back homosexuality? Only through intercession. Who can change the pornography? Who can change the crime situation? Who has authority? You have. If the church will rise up and be the church God wants the church to be, if we will be a militant army of prayer warriors, we can change things for God in accordance with God's will. In accordance with God's will. Oh, I wish I could tell it. I forgot to keep watching my time and it's gone. Forgive me. But I want you to be mighty intercessors for God. I want this church to make a difference in this city. I want this church to make a difference in Canada. I want this church to make a difference in society. I said, well, what can we do? Do? You can pray. You can intercede. Oh, how much of our praying is, Lord, help me. Help me pass this exam. Oh, help me earn a little more money. Oh, Lord, bless my children and help them pass that examination. Lord, and we've got so much of our prayer focused this way. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, when you pray, say. So that means we should use the words. In the other passage, he says, when you, after this manner, pray. In other words, this is the way you should pray. How? Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And Lord, don't forget what I need this week Thursday and help my family. Is that? No, that's not the way you pray. After this manner. Now, if you're in an emergency, you can go straight to the point. But in your normal prayer times that you have set apart every day, I hope you have a prayer time set apart. In your normal prayer times, you begin. You worship, hallowed be your name. And then you say, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some people think that your will be done, that's a little only a passive. Lord, whatever you think is best, I'd like something, but whatever you say, it's all right, Lord, your will be done. No. Lord, you're to be a militant warrior for Jesus. Lord, may your kingdom come. May it come in Shanghai. May it come in Ethiopia. May it come in Spain. Oh, God, and your will be done. Your will be done in Montreal. Your will be done in Ottawa. Your will be done in New York. Your will be done in Washington, D.C. Your will be done. Your will be done in our denomination. Your will be done in our church. Your will be done in our city, Regina. We're to be kings and priests to God. We're to be members of the Holy Trinity of Intercession. Is that a picture of your prayer life? As we close, I want us to close praying. Can you give just a few more minutes? We're going to go to prayer right now. They have placed a microphone at the center aisle. If God is putting it on your heart, would you lead us in prayer? We all want to call unto God. Would you take just a few moments and ask God to forgive us for our failure and to help us to be the men and women of God, the prayer warriors He wants us to be? Pray whatever God puts on your heart, man or woman, grandfather or youth. I don't care. Let's have just a few people, 3, 4, 5, 6, one after another. Not long prayers, but right to the heart of things. Pray for a brief little time, not just one sentence. You can pray more than that if it's on your heart. But will you lead us in prayer as a people of God? Would you go and step to the microphone? Oh, I've seen this happen in India. People would line up. We'd have two microphones on either side. People would line up, 8, 10, 12 people waiting their turn. They could hardly wait. Not a moment being lost in between. They just went right there to pray and intercede because we must reign with Jesus. And I want you to take your liberty this morning. And I want you to ask God to help us all be the prayer intercessors that God wants us to be. Shall we pray? Lord, we bow before you. We're your people. We love you. But oh, we've been so forgetful. We've been so unobserving.